America doesn't handle Asian American identity with the care and concern and I think fear that they handle other identities of color in America. So writers think it's okay to have a headline on ESPN saying chink in the armor or 2 inches of pain or constantly saying, oh, he's deceptively quick. We didn't expect this because they underestimate us all the time.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
Welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters related to race, especially race in corporate America. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed.
We are live at 88.7 WNHU on that Richter Dow. We're shaking up and down. University of New Haven podcast studio. Our students are now back in the building. It took me a few minutes to get some parking, so they're definitely back, right? So we're happy to see them. Looking forward to another semester. Go Chargers.
We definitely want to start by thanking our partners at Code M Magazine. Code M Magazine, where their mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. That's Code M Magazine, 2Ms.com.
Code M. Check them out at Code M. So today, we want to remind everyone, which we do at the end of all of our episodes, about our call to action, LESS, which stands for L-E-S-S, which is Learn, Empathy, Share, and Stop. And our goal is to decrease discrimination in all walks of life, right? And one of the first things about LESS, that L, it's about learning about other cultural people, their nuances, their history, so you can become more enlightened. And then all the empathy and the share and the stop comes into place. Without learning first, it's going to be hard for you to understand where people are coming from. What experiences have they dealt with? What challenges have they overcome? What accomplishments have they contributed to the United States or to the world in general, right? So we're going to today, we're going to always live up to that. So today, Chris and I are going to delve into the rich and complex history of Asian Americans here in the United States, from their remarkable achievements to the stark challenges of discrimination. We will discuss the multifaceted experience that have shaped the Asian American community. We will discuss, as I talked about earlier, their contributions, confront the injustices that they have faced, and explore the ongoing journey towards equality and recognition here in the United States. What's your thoughts on that, my partner?
I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I think it's a wonderful time to do it. And I think anytime we can connect the fabric of America and make sure that we enlighten people on things that are beyond ourselves, we're doing a great job for not only us, but all of our listeners.
Absolutely. And look, you know, we get caught up so much in our own struggle, our own journey, the things that happen to us, our accomplishments, right? And it's important to learn about our fellow brothers and sisters of different ethnic backgrounds, right? Because everybody, every group contributed to this country and have a ton of history. And so it's important for us to become whole, that we understand what the history is of our brothers and sisters. So speaking of that, let's kick it off. We're going to play a quick clip of the, and look, this is not everything. This is just some of the things,
absolutely,
right? Just to be clear here, because somebody's going to see this like, they
absolutely
forgot this.
Man,
they
absolutely
forgot that. And we get it, right? But right, here's just a taste of the Asian American history here in the United States.
And I'm excited we're doing this, and I'm ready to talk about it.
All right, buddy, so let's talk about it.
1587, when a landing party from the Manila Galleon sends ashore an 8 Lusones Indios, meaning Filipinos.
So the wagons were tilted up on one end. That was used as an area to drop the rope and lynch the person.
the court ruled that American-born children of Chinese immigrants were entitled to citizenship under the 14th Amendment.
I must confess, I don't quite know the standard of respectability that you demand in your boarding house.
In his brief, Ozawa argued that his skin was as white as any so-called Caucasian, if not whiter.
The President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, ordered all Japanese Americans on the west coast of America to be summarily rounded up with no charges, with no trial, with no due process.
I got the chills and I leaned up against him. I said, Papa, someday I'm gonna be an Olympic champ.
Republican Hiram Fong of Chinese descent becomes one of Hawaii's two United States senators.
Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless.
Good luck in Chicago, Shorty.
But we must recognize that the internment of Japanese Americans was just that, a mistake. The legislation that I am about to sign provides for a restitution payment to each of the 60,000 survivors.
Michael Chang shocked the world when he won the French Open at age 17.
What surprised me was the complete shutout of the Joy Luck Club, which when it was released last September, was considered a shoe-in for a best picture.
Best of luck in Beijing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you.
America doesn't handle Asian American identity with the care and concern and I think fear that they handle other identities of color in America. So writers think it's okay to have a headline on ESPN saying chink in the armor or 2 inches of pain or constantly saying, oh, he's deceptively quick. We didn't expect this because they underestimate us all the time. But when you speed things up to 2016 and you see the way America fears Muslims, the way America fears the black community, and the way that America goes into these communities and literally hunts individuals down, as a Taiwanese Chinese American, you say to yourself, maybe it's better we aren't feared. And maybe it's better we're forgotten, and maybe it's better we're underestimated.
So that's deep. I think he says something that sparked the nerve with me, which is America. And then he stated a couple things, you know, in the way in which America treats its citizens. But I have a concern about the term America when it's not representing its citizens as a whole.
Right.
So when you define America, who are you talking about is infringing these injustices on people? You know what I mean? Let's not talk in codes and let's not, you know, speak in generals. That's kind of tough to put it all on America because I'm American. You're American. We didn't do this. You know what I mean? It's many people that, and when you lump it all together like that, you talked about, you know, some of the codes and different dog whistles that people use. I don't want to cast aspersions on Americans as a whole, based on a subset or a subculture of individuals within the country that do these things or act out in that way. So I wanted to start there because I don't want us to walk away feeling like Americans are xenophobic.
Right.
Americans, because something was said in that clip, which is descendants of everybody here, except for natives, are descendants of somewhere else.
Right.
So
right.
We get that mixed up really bad. And unfortunately, it's caused a lot of the anxiety and the issues that we have nowadays, political, social, economic, and otherwise.
Right.
But the one thing that was powerful about that, and obviously that was one of the things that highlighted some of the struggles, so many triumphs, so many success stories, so many opportunities have come from immigration of all peoples, right, into the melting pot that is America. We say that proudly. America's a melting pot, blah, 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 blah. But then we punching down on people collectively and selectively,
right,
whenever we feel like it. And that it's a lot of themes that you hear in that, you know, if you had to close your eyes and taken away the type of people, you could have put Latinos, you could have put African-Americans, you could have put a lot of people into that bucket. I think what was more egregious for the Asians in history that I've taken is the laws that were passed and allowed for.
Right.
And
right.
So we'll touch on those. And I know the article touched on that. But if you think about the Chinese Exclusion Act, where they wouldn't allow for Chinese to come into the United States to do work. So basically, in a nutshell, I'm going to talk real plain here. We let them come in and build the railroads and bring all this intelligence and one of the oldest civilizations in the history of the world, right? And we let them, we took them for all they was worth. And then when we got what we felt like we needed, we ghosted them, right? We ghosted them. And that lasted for 61 years, Tony.
Yeah, it's insane, buddy. But let's back up a second, because mm-hmm. one thing we got to remember is some people are listening to this mm-hmm. from an audio standpoint, right?
Gotcha.
So let's go into a little bit about what the video, and we ask that you go to our YouTube page at a Black mm-hmm. Exec, and you can be able to see that 4-minute video of the Asian American history here in the United States. But let's back up, because what did it show, right? Mm-hmm. The first Filipinos came to the United States in 1587. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody mm-hmm. is thinking that, you know, Asian people being in the United States that long, 1587. In 1790, the Naturalization Act prevents foreign born people of color from becoming citizens. Okay, so obviously we talk about African-American slavery and this and that, but guess what? You know, Asian-American, anybody that was foreign-born, a person of color, couldn't become a citizen. In 1848, the first wave of Chinese arrived in San Francisco for the gold rush. 1867, Chinese helped build the Transcontinental Railroad, right? 1871, and you said this earlier that a lot of that could... A lot of the images and the stuff that you saw could equate to all groups of people of color, Black, Asian, right? So in what, 1871, 32 Chinese lynched in L.A.,
yep.
Okay? 1882, the Chinese, which you just got finished speaking about, the Chinese Exclusion Act, all right? 1898, the Supreme Court ruling U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark, which... They finally allowed Asian people to become citizens because of the 14th Amendment.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
All right. And then 1942, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt rounded up the Japanese Americans because of the beginning of World War II, because of what happened at Pearl Harbor, took them from where they were living, their businesses, the whole their homes, and put them in camps. All right. So, and look, there's a whole nother subset of stuff after, but as you can see, coming up to there, there's a ton of things that Asian American people have accomplished, have gone through, all different type discrimination, and we even get to COVID and some other stuff that we're going to talk about.
Right. Let me say this, though. Another thing that caused an issue was that, of course, you have the 1882 Chinese Exclusion Act, right? That's going on. And that caused a lot of friction and problems. But then, because of people's prejudice or how they see things, they lumped all Asians into one category. So Koreans, Chinese, Japanese, that type of deal, right? So in 1907, they came up with something called the Gentleman's Act that excluded the immigration of Japanese. So, but the fact is they can pick and choose
right.
if you were So it was a no-win situation from anyone of Asian, you know, descent to come and get a fair shake or get an opportunity, land of opportunity, right? We talk about this stuff all the time, but then you come into a land of subjugation, and when we make Asians monolithic, you know what I mean? And we say that this, and don't get me wrong, here's the situation. I'm gonna keep it real. That is not something I went to school for. And so don't come and ask me, what do you think I am? Like, what are we, like, don't do that, because you're going to get your feelings hurt. But the reality of it is, when I do it to exclude you, or when I'm mad at a subset, because that's what happened during the World War situation with the Japanese. Anybody that was Asian was getting, you know, backlash on that.
Correct.
Anybody. Correct. And so
same thing with COVID. Absolutely.
Same thing. So it's a situation, whereas we have to be mindful and careful that no race of people represents a country of people. You know what I mean? That becomes tough for us, because even in from a leadership perspective, we get that twisted a lot.
But here's the thing, though. So, and let's put a pin in what you just got finished saying about, mm-hmm. you know, how they tried to make, you know, the monolithic. However, mm-hmm. they treated the Japanese different than they treated the Chinese. Mm-hmm. All right. They treated the mm-hmm. Philippines and mm-hmm. not still part of the strategy that we always mm-hmm. talk about. Mm-hmm. Divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. OK. And so when you know, try to round people up and try to say that they all belong under this one bucket, you're trying to erase their history.
Correct.
Right. You're trying to not give the accomplishments of their people. OK. And then more importantly, you're trying to erode the self-image of individuals who are Korean, who are Vietnamese, who right. are Japanese, who are right. Filipino, who are Chinese. We can go on and on, right? Because they have their own culture. They have right. their own accomplishments. They have their own thought process. So so when you start saying they're all this, you just pretty much eliminate. But you don't do that when we talk about Irish and we talk about Polish. We talk about Russians and we talk, you see my point here? That's
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's be fair. Every group that came to the United States, all right, had some type of discrimination against them.
Correct.
Okay. So when the Irish came, they were discriminated.
Persecuted. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
When Polish people, they were flat out. But what eventually happened, they left them alone.
Yes.
Okay. They left them alone. Okay. Where when it comes to people of color,
that's it,
which is the big difference. They're not left alone. Okay. Right. They're still being persecuted with laws and stuff to that nature. Right. Which we're going to dive into one of them soon. Right. Mm-hmm. We just went through just a history from, you know, and again, stuff that I wasn't privy to till, you know, I put this together several years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. From 1587 to when did the clip end? 2015, 2016? Mm-hmm. All right. It didn't even get into COVID. It didn't even get into some of these other things that we're going to talk about. So these things continue to happen. Right. And then here's the other kicker. Again, divide and conquer. So what's one of the things that they've tried to do with Asian Americans and try to divide them or cause some angst between the other groups, Hispanics, Blacks, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? Is name them the minority, you know, the model minority.
Absolutely.
Right? The model minority. Right. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't an accident. Mm-hmm. That was on purpose. These mm-hmm. people, they're pretty good. They're over mm-hmm. here. They're the model minority. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Get rid of them. Okay. Right. So again, that divide and conquer stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Which caused angst in groups that all of our groups have dealt with and continue to deal with discrimination.
You know, one of the things also that remind me, like from a Chicago perspective, Chicago got a lot of, we, you know, we just had an episode on that where they have Polish communities, they have German communities and this and that. And so when you talk about those communities, those heritages, they're embraced. But when we talk about, anybody that speaks Spanish is Mexican. I don't care if you're Puerto Rican, if you're Cuban, if you're Dominican, you Mexican. Like, that's how they get down. Anybody that's dark skinned is African. I don't care where you from, you know what I mean? And anybody that's Asian or have an Asian complexion or whatever the case may be, they Chinese.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we lump the hell out of people and don't allow for them to have, like you said, their own identity. And we're trying to strip them and water it down constantly. And that becomes so tough because selectively we choose to call out these people or these cultures of individuals. Unfortunately, the layman person sees it's the visual dynamic. See, the thing correct, that allowed correct. For the Irish and the Italians and whatever is assimilation. Right. You can easily assimilate.
They look white.
You look white. Man, you look white. You look white. So you can blend in if need be, or if you want to, or you can blend out. You know what I'm saying? And that allowed for that discrimination to precipitate because you can't not look Asian and you can't not look African-American. You know,
hold on. One of the clips.
Yeah, dude said, I'm white.
My man was a Guagua. I think it was 1922. Yeah. He's like, my skin is white as any other white man. They were like, no, it ain't.
No, you're straight.
You're still Chinese. You're still Asian. Okay. Exactly. See, so that didn't even matter.
Exactly. It's subjective. It always has been. It always will be. It's subjective. And that's, but what I'm saying in that regard, Tony, is the one beauty of the Chinatowns. They burned down so many different, it used to be way more Chinatowns throughout the West Coast and then in the New York area as well, because a lot of Asians primarily settled on the coast. And they got rid of a lot of those and they minimized it, created ghettos, things of that nature. But they always had a tie to their culture and their history.
Right.
Where their countries embraced them, their nations, their whatever
embraced
them.
They had something they could go back to, push come to shove. Right?
Absolutely.
Now, a lot of times they came over as all immigrants, all people came here except black people. all came here to try for a better life. Okay.
Exactly.
So, I totally get, but they did have a country that they could go back to.
Absolutely.
Right.
Something to identify with.
And here's the thing though. You think about it, and why is this important? Why this is a black executive perspective? Why are you guys talking? Because this is about people of color. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the end of the day, right? And number two, we all face discrimination. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can't fix one without fixing the other. All right. Or more importantly, we talk about less. Right? Call to action. Mm-hmm. That is stuff that each individual can control. You can control that. Right. So if you can control it, that means one of the things you want to do is learn about your other fellow human beings that you may not be privy about. And here's the thing. We just saw it. When you start learning about other groups. Right. You start saying, oh, they went through stuff, too. Oh, they're still being persecuted, too. They're still dealing with this, too. Oh, look at their accomplishments that they had that nobody else knows about. Right. The same thing. So we got to educate ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. We have to do that. Here's the thing, though. I remember in the clip they had Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. OK. And I remember it was the biography of Bruce Lee. Right. And, he played Kato in the Green Hornet. I was going to say Batman, but it was Green Hornet, right? Mm-hmm. And when they were filming the series, right, they wanted to make sure he didn't take his mask off, okay, because he looked Asian, all right? Mm-hmm. Number two, you ever remember the TV series Kung Fu?
I think it was
Kung Fu.
With Carradine.
Bruce Lee wrote that.
Yeah, you're right.
Bruce Lee was supposed to play that character,
right?
And then they say, don't worry, hold on. We're working on it. Next thing you know, he turned TV on. He see David Carradine walking across sand.
Right.
Okay?
Snatching pebbles. Snatching grass.
Yeah, snatching grass pebbles. You can leave, right?
Right.
So it was the same situation, right? They didn't want people of color, Asian people. They wasn't comfortable with them on the TV screen, right? Playing major roles. As you saw in the clip, I forget her name, 1921, she became the first Asian Hollywood star, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just the thing here is about educating that we can learn that. And guess what? When we talk about Hispanics or we talk about, we're going to learn a culture of stuff that we're not privy to. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we all, let me ask you this. You learn about German history. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're quick to teach that, all right? But it's important for us to learn about our other brothers and sisters of color.
Absolutely, 100%. And I, in preparing or having a conversation, I was picking my daughter up from school, and she said, "Hey, what?" I told her I had a pod that I was going to record today, and she said, "What is it about?" She always asks. She's young, and so I tell her, but even though she wouldn't comprehend it, And I told her what our subject was, and she said, oh, so this is going to be about David Chin. Is he going to be a guest? And I was like, I have a business partner. His name is David Chin. Cool. That's my boy, right? Right. And so David is Chinese, but he's Taiwanese. And so she corrected me. And I was, she said, and she was like, so are you going to talk about Taiwan? And I was like, oh, no, we just going to talk in general. But I'm teaching her this early on to understand subtle distinctions because he taught me. And he was like, well, this is what it is. And he wasn't, you know, he was patient. He was receptive. He wasn't offended. I understood the situation because a lot of times we get caught up in political mess.
Correct. Correct.
You know, the politics of it. And, you know, he talked about some of the struggles and things like that and him going back to China once a year. He used to do that kind of deal. And even though he was born here, his family, his mom and dad, you know, met in Illinois at college. And so, you know, one of those situations where I didn't even realize that because it was so natural. Me and him got together at work and start golfing and it wasn't, I just was a lack. It was just me being me and him being him. And then he was like, I got a business idea. And I didn't realize my kid doesn't know the difference or the distinctions. She just know cool people, right? She's 10 and he been around her whole life and he just been cool people. And then now she's seeing as she's getting older, I have a friend in my class that's from, I can't think of where this young girl is from, but she's, you know, Asian. And so she's excited about that because she thinks she's being like me, right? With an Asian friend, you know? So it's those type of things. Like you said, that's the less dynamic that, you know, we have to live and incorporate whenever we can.
Well, here's the thing though, bro. When I grew up, nobody was teaching me about the difference between Korean people and mm-hmm. Chinese people and Japanese people, mm-hmm. Taiwanese. And mm-hmm. It was all like we said earlier, right? They put them all in one pot. Absolutely. Okay. Where our kids today, my daughters, are very fluent when it comes to the different cultures of the Asian community. Way, mm-hmm. way more better than when I was coming up as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So that is important. And it's something that we have to continue to do with all groups of people, okay? Right. Because, again, there's so much that we can learn from one another, right. All right? And there's so many accomplishments. Here's the other thing, though, that we don't really spend a lot of time on, is really talking and focus on the accomplishments that everybody contributed to make this country what it is. All right. Those get pushed to the side. Look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if we start diving into Hispanic culture, we are Native American, even take it deeper and start peeling the onion back, man, on all the groups that have come here and then really learn their accomplishments, their history, how this person helped this that became this, or this person invented this, or this person founded this, right? It would change the, in my mind, it would change the dynamic. But if you think that it's only this dominant group,
yep,
they're the only ones that did this, yep, and everybody else came in and, you know, they were begging, or, you know, they helped a little, but they didn't really do nothing. That's why we have the conflict. That's why we have people looking down on each other. Mm-hmm. That's why some people think they're superior than others, mm-hmm. is because of that ignorance and lack of intellect in terms of when it comes to our fellow brothers and sisters in different colors and races.
And it's colors, races, and unfortunately with us, and I know I don't want to go deep into this vein, but sexes as well, because if it ain't the Wright brothers, Ben Franklin, or Thomas Edison, nobody invented anything. Like, and they all happen to be white males, right? Like, I don't name the prolific female inventor in U.S. history. I can't. That doesn't mean that she doesn't exist. She has to.
Right. That's an excellent point.
She has to.
There's a ton of women that created stuff.
Absolutely.
Stuff, right. Where are they? Why they ain't on the map? Where's their stories? Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amelia Earhart.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's just a contrived, you know, conspiracy that helps to minimize or demonize, or, you know, others from being able to share in the accomplishment of America, because it's easy to talk about heritage from over there, our African heritage, their Asian heritage, or, you know, Korean heritage, Vietnamese heritage, or whatever. But we have heritage here too.
Correct.
And I think that's where the mark is being missed, is the American heritage that is America. And that's why when my mans was saying, well, America this and America that, I'm America, bro. Like, you America, you Taiwanese America, you America too. And so we want to make sure we get better at that. And I know we ain't gonna do it on this episode, but collectively over the next 30, 7 years. I hope we get better at that.
So I'm going to give my man a pass.
Okay.
Okay. Because I don't know where he was recording that. Was he on TV? So he probably was trying to keep it general. All right. Versus just coming out saying white people.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly.
And even if he said that, back to your point, that's not all white people. Right.
That's right. Exactly.
So I'm going to give him a pass on that. But I knew what he meant.
Right.
I knew exactly what he meant. Here's the thing, though. Let's back up. Mm-hmm. So, and let's go back to that pitting one against another. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what I'm just going to lay out here is the facts. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if somebody's got an issue, reach out. We'd love for you to come on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, share your perspective. Nobody's going to attack you. We're going to judge you. We're going to have as long as you're able to have a civil conversation, we're going to listen to you. We want to ask you questions, hear your point of view and go back and forth. Always open for that. And that's what we want as we move into our second year. Here's the thing. And you saw it on the clip. Was it 1942, where they rounded up the Japanese and put them in internment camps, okay? Sad thing to do, right? Took them from their homes.
Horrible.
Automatically, they're spies, okay? That's what that was about, okay? We can't trust them. Even though they lived here, they had businesses, honan yards, right? They didn't do that to the Germans, though, to be fair. Okay, we were fighting a war with Germany as well. They didn't round them up or anybody from German descent and put them in a camp. They didn't do that. They did it with the Japanese. All right? Okay, here's the thing. Now, it was war. The Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, right? 2,000, 3,000 Americans, right? Japanese at the time were trying to take over the world. All right? Very aggressive, but working with the axis of evil.
That's
with
right.
Germany, Italy
and
Japan. Okay, totally get it. All right. Now, after the war, let them go. Right. They went back. However, there was a lot of damage that was done. Okay. From a psychological standpoint, from a wealth standpoint, all that happened to the Japanese people. Okay. 45, they let them go. I think it was sometime in the summer, right after the war was over. Okay. Now, you saw on the clip, 40 years later, in 1988, President Reagan signs the law to give them reparations. Okay. Now, and said, this was a horrible thing that happened. It shouldn't have happened. So what we're going to do based on those 60,000 descendants, we're going to give them reparation. And that's when he came up with the model minority thing. Okay. Now, this is one of the things that people struggle with today. Well, look, black people, we don't have to go deep into it because everybody know, pulled over, slave, built the country, centuries, broke up families. We can go on and on and on. Where is the reparations here?
Right.
Okay. No reparations. All right. So sometimes people have issues, okay, with, you know, Japanese Americans, like, oh, they got and the reason they did, let's be fair now, this was not the kindness of the United States heart, right? Oh, you know what? Let's give it to them. No, it's because they wanted to have relations with Japan. All right. And at the end of the day, Japan was buying stuff and sending exports and the whole nine yards. So at the end of the day, guess what? Once we don't have these relations with them, right? We're going to take care. We're going to right or wrong, right? You agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that. But another component to that was they have land that is now today, as we produce this podcast, uninhabitable based off them bombs that we dropped in Japan.
Exactly.
So there was a little bit of that. But also, if you think back.
But Tony, they didn't give them reparations for that.
They didn't.
All right. They gave them reparations for the internment.
I agree.
Stuff,
I agree.
Okay?
But that was part of the political.
Buddy, stop. Because they would have gave millions of people, reparations.
I get what you're saying. But they're saying the ones that are here, we're going to do them a solid as it's all part of the package. Because think about this. If you look at the history of disenfranchised individuals, whenever we start coming up and looking good and getting too shiny, they come and take us and then take the businesses. We talked about Wilmington's Lie.
Right,
they take
right.
the businesses, take whatever has been developed, and then you never get that back again. That's the generational wealth component. So even what they got back wasn't a tenth of what they lost.
Of course not.
Generationally.
It wasn't. Yeah, of course not. I totally agree with that. But it wasn't because they bombed Japan. Okay? It was for the 60,000 descendants here of the internment camps of 1940-something, right?
Correct.
That's what it is, right? And here's the other thing. They did they drop an atomic bomb in Germany?
No, not at all.
No, of course not. Not at all. Right?
Not
so,
at all.
And look, we can get, I don't want to get too deep into that, right? Mm-hmm. But again, these things right here, again, that divide and conquer, right, is one of the things that as African American people, we push, like, where's our reparations? Where, and we don't have to get into what the formula is or, you know, you talk, it was only 60,000 of them and, you know, you're talking millions of people. It doesn't matter, right? It, whatever, it could be figured out, okay? But that also causes an angst, okay? And so you've seen, unfortunately, you've seen, like, in certain cities where, you know, Korean Americans and Black Americans don't get along.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's not because the Korean American or the Black American, they're trying to hold each other down, all right? It's just a lot of, buddy, it's so much ignorance. And here's the thing. When I was growing up, I just didn't understand it, right? And maybe I'm a young impressionable kid, but to me everything was black and white. Okay, what does that mean? White people, they all looked out for each other, and black people or people of color all was on the same on the other side of the street. Okay, and that's the way. So if white people didn't like black people, they ain't like Hispanics. They didn't like Asians. This was in my mind. Okay, and we know that part of that is true, but the challenge is that when we're on the other side of the street, we fighting amongst ourselves, all right? And they're still doing the same thing. Now, everything is not tit for tat or apples and oranges, sometimes apples and oranges, but the same discrimination that's coming from this side of the street is still going to anybody that looks different than them, all right? Or to your point, who's trying to rise up and take. But what we do, instead of us banding together, instead of us saying, you know what, why are we fighting amongst one another? Why don't we learn more about, don't we see that we have more in common than we don't, right? How about, well, we come together and pull our power together, pull our resources together and work and understand one another. And then let's all get together and then we can push back collectively on these things, right? But it hasn't happened. And so we end up fighting once every night. We fight amongst each other. And then we come to find out when we sit down, to your point, and we finally break bread with somebody and we spend time with them, then we find out, oh, they're not as bad as I thought. Oh, they went through the same things that I go through. Oh, they kids have a hard time in certain schools. Oh, certain neighborhoods don't want them to buy houses. Oh, you see my point here? And then to me, that could galvanize and bring us all together.
I think the issue is this fear, right? And you talk about fear mongering and using fear as a divisive weapon, you know, all the time. And the idea of, if you talk about the Chinese Exclusion Act or the Gentleman's Agreement or anything that it relates to immigration, the rallying cry has always been, they've taken our jobs. They've taken our
land. Zero sum game.
Now keep in mind, when you use the term taking, that implies by force or by armed resurrection, you know, to me. And that's never been the case. They're accepting jobs that you fight against, and they're accepting opportunities, but they got to live somewhere. We got it, like, and this is African Americans. This is whoever came, right? This is currently the border wars, all this other stuff. Taking means that they come in and just strong arming. Nobody moves, nobody get hurt. You got the mask, you give it up. That's not happening. Let's just be real. That's not happening. They're coming and accepting roles to fit into society where they can, because they're coming from a place where things were worse. And this idea that everybody's, because the reality is, if we exported everybody that didn't come here freely, we wouldn't have a country. When I say freely, I mean, the people that came for opportunity, they came just like your people came from opportunity. Like I said, everybody's a descendant of something. But when you start saying this subset of people are taking things from you that you didn't even know you wanted until they showed up here, You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and that becomes a problem.
But it's on purpose, okay? Right. And like you said, it doesn't make sense. Right. It doesn't make sense. And like you said, literally, the word taken literally is that they're and by force. And mm-hmm. what they mean is that there's policies and laws that are being implemented to replace you, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're number one. Let's be fair here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, this is common sense stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go to any restaurant. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be stereotypical here, mm-hmm. but, or you look at certain industries. All right. Mm-hmm. Especially low paying one. You see a lot of white people working there.
Right. Right.
No.
Right.
Okay. You see a lot of people that have come over to your point and they're coming to try to make a better way for them and their family. And mm-hmm. they're doing these jobs. Mm-hmm. They're not taking nothing. Mm-hmm. All right. They're doing jobs that people that are born and bred here don't want to do. It's beneath mm-hmm. them. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's beneath them. So that's mm-hmm. not what they're talking about. Right. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the person that works at the factory who's okay. building cars and stuff that they're coming to take your job. All right. Because right. at the end of the day, nobody, those other jobs, they're like, oh, but you lump it all together. Yeah. My point is, when somebody's saying that or somebody's fear, they're mm-hmm. not thinking they're going to take my dishwashing job. Right. All right? Right. They're not thinking right. they're going to take my waiter job or they're going to take my landscaping job. Right. Right. They're not thinking that. Okay. Right. They're thinking, even though it's not true, but the way it's being positioned, they're going to take this skill job from you that pays good money, or they're going to move in your neighborhood where you right. live at and you got this great neighborhood, right? Right? They're not talking about moving into the ghetto, right. all right? They're not talking that. So that's how that's the picture
that
people see in their head.
But the weapon that the supremacists use, or the leaders who use these folks as scapegoats, the weapon that they use is, so I'm from Peoria, right? So Caterpillar, UAW town, blah, 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 United Auto Workers, right? So in the 80s, the car industry started getting turned on its head because Japanese automakers start making it cheaper, faster. I'm a Six Sigma black belt. So they start producing this stuff better, smoother, right? And so they were able to come in at a lower price point, blah, blah, blah. Well, then Detroit, where you from, start taking these licks, right? Motor City start taking these licks because now somebody has an alternative selection that's more cost effective for me, whoever I am in America, white, black, or indifferent. I can get a car cheaper that's Datsun or Nissan
right,
than I
right,
can this right. GM or whatever it can be, right? So I remember in the early 80s.
That became real. You're 100%
right. Real. And so what happened in the early 80s, it was a guy, and he's been a rallying cry for Asian Americans for years, but his name is Vincent Chin. Now, Vincent Chin wasn't Japanese. Now, these Japanese automakers was coming in and making some movements. Vincent Chin happened to be Chinese, but he looked Asian. And these two white guys who had got, like, one of them had got laid off, him and his dad, you know, from the auto factory. They beat him to death with a baseball bat at his bachelor party, you know. And they end up getting a $3,000 fine. And the judge said, people like this don't belong in jail.
For real?
So they was able to pay $120 a month. That was it. This is 82, 83.
Where, you can look it up. Is this in Illinois?
Yeah. Yeah. So the situation was that kind of stuff is once again, he wasn't even Japanese. So basically, but Japanese automaker came in, but he was Asian. They was out. They had a couple. And then it was all that was just an honest mistake. It even got moved to a higher court for what hate crimes didn't exist at that time legally.
But civil but rights and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So right. and it went out on, you know, they didn't they got acquitted. So these two men beat a man to death because of how he looked. And we've obviously traversed that path forever as black folks. But this is in the 80s, Tony, over some auto working and they just using it as a scapegoat or an excuse.
But look, forget the 80s. And number mm-hmm. one, that's a tragic story, right? Mm-hmm. 2020 with COVID. All
yes.
right. Look how many Asian people were attacked. All right. Or kids at school being called a virus.
Yes.
And all these things because of some type of myth or yes. narrative, I should say,
yes.
that was pushed out. Said, oh, this came from China. Okay. Yes. This virus. So all of everybody took it as the gospel.
Absolutely. Okay.
And basically now all the Asian people are the reason we have Buddy, think about that. And that's, and to be honest, that still kind of goes on today.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's been 4 years since then. Okay,
absolutely.
Where people have been afraid to go to work. Kids have been afraid to go to school, right? And so, going back to what my man said at the end of the clip,
yeah,
he said, they take us for granted because we're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't speak out. Mm-hmm. We don't do these things, right? And at the end of the day, you know, people are going through stuff and they don't speak out. They don't say a lot of stuff. You've heard, I mean, when those situations happen, you have mm-hmm. it. But for a community, all right, because of a virus,
mm-hmm.
all right, and again, you're talking 1980, we started mm-hmm. at 1587,
mm-hmm.
okay, still happening today, right. right? And I remember I was watching this clip, this Asian lady said one thing, and it stuck with me. She said, you know, they call us the model minority.
Mm-hmm.
When they want us, they want us. But when they don't want us, they push us to the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. And we can kind of, you know, we can pivot to what's happening now, right, in Florida.
Correct.
Okay? With the Chinese. You want to speak about that, buddy?
Absolutely. So there's a law in Florida or bill that's looking to be passed and sponsored by DeSantis.
Didn't it get passed? I thought it was.
Senate Bill 264, I think it might have got passed. But basically,
yeah,
the genesis of it is DeSantis is backing a bill where no land in Florida can be owned by a Chinese national.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
So if, and specifically the term Chinese, once again, but you know it's going to spread to other people at their leisure. If they can get away with this, then they're going to add somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. But the reality of it is they're saying that there's a fear that Chinese investors, once again, not taking. Investors, people who spent their money, hard-earned money, to be able to afford to buy this land, is going to buy this land. Now, as opposed to the land being bought, I don't know if it's just going to sit there, because you don't have a rush of white individuals trying to buy up a whole bunch of land in Florida at a premium.
Buddy, so 1% of the entire property is mm-hmm. owned by foreign people.
Mm-hmm.
1%. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, let's go into the law. Mm-hmm. Okay? Florida's law, which went into effect in July, is among the furthest reaching. In addition to barring Chinese entities from buying agricultural land, it effectively prohibits most Chinese individuals without a green card from purchasing residential property. All right? So here's the thing, though. So people here working,
mm-hmm.
okay? They're working,
mm-hmm.
right? They pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be fair. So these ain't people who do this, illegals. Mm-hmm. All right. These are mm-hmm. people that's working, that's paying taxes. They start making enough money. They want to go buy a house.
Yep.
All right. They can't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the issue. Right. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Oh, and here's the thing. Japanese bought up a bunch of property in Hawaii.
They did.
Okay. And look, maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe they came with but there's a bunch of people that buy up a lot of stuff around. We bought up stuff and around the world, right? Right? We're still taking money from China.
Right.
We're still getting exports. We're buying their stuff. They're buying our stuff.
Right.
My point is that, again, and what's the reason? Go ahead. Speak to it. What is the reason why they came up with the law?
They came up, in my opinion, based on research, Florida is only 3% Asian. Now that's, and once again, to stay on theme, that's not just Chinese, that's Asian. People right. of Asian descent, 3% in Florida. But the fact is, that is up 44% from 15 years ago. So it's back to, it's not enough for all of us. So we're going to slow this thing down and kind of keep them from, and it's a control mechanism. It's a situation where you're identifying a group of, once again, you can't say Asian people can't buy land. But to single out Chinese people and do the Communist Manifesto all over it again, and they don't think like we think, they don't govern like we govern, and all this other stuff, it creates a slippery slope. And when we allow this, it's a new Jim Crow type situation.
It is a Jim Crow, but here's the thing, though, bro. This is how. So how you know if somebody's Chinese or not? All right, you don't know. Right. And so what happens is that people who are Filipino, people who are Japanese, people who are Taiwanese, all of a sudden they're like, I'm afraid to even try. Absolutely. Right? Because all of a sudden now I got to show that I'm this and I'm that to buy a house.
Absolutely. Baby footprints, first tooth. You got to come with all this.
You got to do all that. Man. Okay. That's the ramifications of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here, let me just read this. Ron DeSantis, and this was out of the New York Times. This was published May 6, 2024. Ron DeSantis signed a message just before launching his Republican presidential campaign, warning voters that China represents the biggest threat to the United States. Today, this is the day he signed the law. Today, Florida makes it clear, we don't want the CCP in the Sunshine State. So that's basically what the, so think about it. They've now, these people from China who live there, they now associate, they communists now. That's what he's saying. They're communists. We don't want them here. Okay? These people that are spending their money, been working there, paying taxes, you sign the law and say, we don't want them. Okay? And so that's, buddy, and I don't hear a lot about it. Okay? I saw, I read this. I saw something on CNN, and maybe there's a few things about, but at the end of the day, that's abominable. That's, and so here you can, and here's the thing. If I read it correctly, there's other states that's looking to jump on this bandwagon. All right. They even remember they told TikTok that they had to sell, okay, or to a U.S. entity, or they were going to ban that. Right. And look, I get it that you want to, hey, we got to protect. I totally get it. Right. But somebody going to buy, so I just want to be clear here. Somebody going to buy a 3-bedroom bungalow. Mm-hmm. Is that against national security?
That's I mean, what I is that say. Protected from what?
Stop for a second. They do have a thing to saying that not just Chinese Americans, but I believe it was a couple other countries that they couldn't buy a house like 10 miles close to any type of military installation. Okay. So that's one of the other things, right? And it wasn't just people from Asia. It was China. It was a few other countries as well. My point is somebody buying a condo. All right. I don't see them, being, that prolific in breaking down national security. So look, net, we wanted to talk about our brothers and sisters from the Asian American community. We wanted to share some insights on their history and also the things that they still go through. And so I think it's very important that, again, taking that call to action of ours called Less, that we continue to learn about other groups. I would love for people to come on our show and say and continue to enlighten us about things that we may not know. Right. I mean, Chris and I are speaking from the heart. We don't know everything we don't claim to. Right. But we want to bring, we have a platform here and we want to bring, we want to educate and bring these things to a level that other people can hear about them and be like, oh, I didn't even know that. Oh, my God, let me check more into it. So final thoughts, my brother.
Yeah, my final thought on this, Tony, is the fact that you don't have to be intimately involved or befriend or any of that to learn and understand. What I would hope people wouldn't do is perpetuate horrible stereotypes or perpetuate, different things that they think they heard or heard, like you said, at the dinner table type situation. We don't say that. The reality of it is always be speaking from a perspective of knowledge, insight, that you've actually experienced. If you don't know, there's enough things out there and don't just go to one source, kind of calibrate it on different, angles. And if you, have the opportunity to work with someone or go to church with someone, have that conversation. And this is not just from Black folks to other folks. This is all folks. Have that conversation if you have a question. And if you're in those type of environments, if you come correct, people will be willing to share. They'll be willing to share. They'll be willing to open up and give you another side of the coin, another angle. Because like you said, you grew up and it was them and it was us. And then as you got older and got put into those situations, whether it be the military or college or whatever, you started realizing, wait a second, this is different than what I had thought. And so, for us, the one thing I want to leave you with is take a moment to really think about what you're disseminating from an information perspective, what you're doing from a stereotype perspective. You know, these type of people ain't all hard workers, and these type, nothing is monolithic. Nothing is all inclusive. And I think when we start getting into a situation where if I see somebody in the grocery store and they look Asian, I got to go grab my mask, you know, or whatever the case, you know, it's so interesting how we've been programmed by leaders, people that we trust of authority, and they fail us, Tony. They fail us saying stuff like Kung Flu. They fail us saying stuff like the China virus. And because a layman person don't know a Chinese from a Korean, from a Japanese, from a Vietnamese, from, you know, everybody's Chinese, like I said before. And now all of these people are the reasons why my grandma died. You bring it on emotional, you know what I mean? You bring it on emotional heartstrings with this, and it's causing this hatred, and it's fueling this xenophobia, this fear of foreigners. And these people aren't foreigners.
Correct.
They've been here longer than us. Correct. Like you said, this has been 1500. Like, what is we talking about? So that's my final. That's what I would like to leave as a final thought.
Buddy, you mind if I add to that a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you spoke to it. I just want to add one thing, a couple things, I should say. Mm-hmm. We all want the same thing, mm-hmm. right? If, you know, we don't, I remember when I was in the Army, I was in Korea. Mm-hmm. Okay. There for 90 days. And I remember when, and it was a team spirit. Right, it's where all the military gets in the Pacific, and we play war games like we're defending Korea, South Korea, because that was our charge.
Okay.
And when we got there, the Korean people were throwing parades for us. I remember marching down the street. They would, you know, they would come up and put ribbons around our neck because we were there, you know, to protect them. Right. Mm-hmm. And some of my soldier friends, and I'm talking Black people. Mm-hmm. Would call, and not just black and white, would call them every name under the book. Just think of racial slurs when you think mm-hmm. of Asian people. That's what mm-hmm. they were calling them, but especially the brothers. And mm-hmm. it really made me mad. And I was a young kid, but I spoke up. I was like, why are you calling them that? Would you want somebody in the United States calling you the N-word?
Right.
You fight against that, but then you come somewhere else and then you start saying racial slurs to these right. people.
Right.
This is where we got to get out of.
Right.
We have to treat everyone the way we want to be treated. See right. them as a human being. Right. See them and understand that they want the same things that we want. Right. They want to, you know, have a family and they want to live in a great place and they want a good job and they want to bring their kids up so their kids are better than them and they want to have friends and family. Every group, every human being wants that. So treat people the way you want to be treated, how you want your kids to be treated, how you want them to be treated in school, how you want them to be able to be seen when they sit down and have an interview and somebody's looking at their qualifications, not the color of their skin or how they talk. That's important. And if we can all do that, guess what? We'll change because it's in our power to change. So I think it's now time for what?
Tony's Tidbit.
Time for the tidbit. All right. And the tidbit today, let the triumphs of the Asian Americans inspire us to uphold the values of diversity and inclusion, proving that true strength lies in our collective diversity.
Man, that was a powerful segment today. And, you know, once again, I just want to be clear that it's a lot that went into the history. We kind of touched on a couple things. Please go back and check on some things yourself. Talk to friends and family, you know, who may have a better perspective than we do. But it's worth knowing. You know what I mean? It's worth understanding. And hopefully that helps you get to a better place. Because if you just assume that whomever you're sitting across from is trying to contribute to the greater good, then you'll have a different perspective on them. And I believe many people, especially who are trying and doing the best they can, are just trying to contribute to the greater good. And that's something we have to get better at. But we want to make sure that you guys continue to be educated and tune in to our Need to Know with Nsingha. Okay. So each week, Dr. Nsingha Burton goes to a Black Executive Perspective podcast and gives us the game and truly enlightens us on topics that are crucial to the world today as we know it. And she brings it every week about this time. And we enjoy her specifically for being able to do that and give us an uplifting voice from her perspective.
Absolutely. Check her out. And hope we're glad you checked us out today. So we hope you enjoyed today's episodes, BEP Insights Asian American History.
And we obviously theme this on our call to action. So let's just remind you as we close out, our call to action is always less, L-E-S-S. The L is for learn, like we hope you did a little bit today and hope to continue to do. Learn to educate yourself on racial and cultural nuances.
Absolutely. And then after L, you have E. E stands for empathy. So hopefully today, after learning a lot more about the Asian American community, you're more empathetic towards them. You understand more their point of view and exactly some of the things that they go through.
The first S stands for share. You want to share as we have with our experiences and our exposure to help people become enlightened and get a better understanding of the people that they work with, go to church with, go to school with, and are at the grocery store with.
Absolutely. And the final S, our goal, less, we want to decrease all types of discrimination. So the final S stands for stop. You want to stop discrimination as it comes in your path. So in other words, if grandpa says something at the Thanksgiving table that's inappropriate, you say, grandpa, we don't say that. We don't believe that. And you stop it right in your tracks. And if everyone that's listening to this podcast, that's watching this podcast, your friends and your family, your coworkers, if everyone can incorporate less, which is in their control, L-E-S-S, we're going to create a more understanding world, and we're going to be able to see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
We want to remind you to stay in line with us and continue to help us help ourselves, educate us on topics and things that you'd like to hear about. Make sure that you review and subscribe, you know, to us as you're listening. Make sure that you go to the newsletter. Make sure that you meet us where we are and help us meet you where you are in this journey for less.
Absolutely. And you can follow a Black Executive Perspective podcast on all of our socials or wherever you listen to this podcast, on X, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok at a black exec. For the co-host with the most, my boy down in Dallas, Texas, Chris P. Reed. For Noel Miller, who's pulling all the levers in the background to make this a successful recording, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.